Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York City, and I'm sitting here at my bright red desk on a beautiful Sunday night. It's 56 degrees out and just kind of gorgeous. One of those days you appreciate being alive. So what we do here on the Weekly Weather is we talk to you about the upcoming week ahead and what it can hold for you and how to work with the energy productively. And then we also talk a little bit about the last week and how it went. Hooray, hooray, we had elections and Obama got elected. I'm very partisan on this one, which was good. I'm really glad to have been wrong about the Mercury retrograde, although I will say I've never stood in a line for 2 hours to vote before because the voting machines just didn't work. But enough of them voting machines did work, I guess, across the country to elect who I think should be the next president. At any rate, we got through it. It's still Mercury retrograde, so there still are exciting things that will happen. But it wasn't quite as bad as I thought it would be, although it was definitely a little chaotic in terms of people finding where to vote and how long the lines were and yada, yada. But it went relatively smoothly, so that was good. And forward we go into the next chapter. So good to be wrong. I'm like very happy I was wrong. I love it when I'm wrong, especially about things like that, about bad things. So what we have this week, very exciting week, and of course last week just flew. I don't know. We just kind of zipped along. We got a Neptune station. We had the Mercury station. A lot of people were reporting feeling very sloggy, kind of like spongy, floaty, wanting to go to sleep. Remember, there still is that grand trine in water, and true to Sandy the Storm's promise with Jupiter and Gemini on the ascendant, the back end of the week last week, Wednesday, Thursday, we had that nice nor'easter, which made a lot of snow but didn't do as much damage as she could have. But, of course, Mars was the full moon was over, and Mars was still out of bounds. So it was another storm, and, you know, forward we go. But now this week we have the eclipses. So we're in the two-week lead-up to the eclipses. The eclipse is on Tuesday at 5:08 p.m. in Washington, D.C., and the eclipse sun is at 2156 Scorpio, with the Sabian image being hunters in camouflage shoot ducks. It's kind of a mean eclipse. I will be telling you the truth on that one. Algol is on the south node, Handsome's Howling, of course. Algol is also on the ascendant. For those of you who don't know Algol, Algol is one of the meter fixed stars in the heavens. It's the star of 1,000 corpses or 10,000 corpses, according to Chinese legend. It's a blinking binary star every 68 hours. The eye closes and opens. So it's called Medusa's Eye because it's in the constellation where Medusa's head is. And those of you who remember Medusa, what she did was she turned things to stone, men to stone, when they looked at her. And she was actually Pallas Athena's bad day, truth be told. Pallas Athena came into her temple and found Medusa on the floor having sex with Neptune. Medusa was a temple priestess. She turned her into a snake-headed monster, only to find out, of course, that Neptune was raping her. It wasn't consensual. And she felt kind of bad after she had done that. So she said Perseus to slay her, which you kind of go, why would you slay her? You know, well, because she's running around the world with snake heads turning men to stone. Kind of, you know, it's like the mythology sometimes you kind of have to go, really? How's that work for you? I feel like Dr. Phil should have gone and counseled them or somebody. At any rate, she sends Perseus. He uses the shield to see her, so he's working off of her reflection. So Medusa is always our shadow. She's also our shadow side. And, of course, she was Athena's shadow energy of anger because Athena normally was the strategic father's daughter with no emotions. She sprung from the roof. She didn't have a mother. Roof of Zeus's head. You know, he had a bad headache. And she popped out. And, you know, she's not emotional, but there she was, highly emotional, turned the poor woman into a snake-headed monster, and then, like, says, okay, now I made a mistake, so let me kill it. You know, I mean, it was really just not a good day. But Athena went and got the head once Perseus slayed her and brought it and put it in her shield. So we always see Pallas Athena with the head of the snake-headed Medusa on her shield. And I often think of it as not a trophy, but as a reminder to Athena of integrating the emotions with the intellect, that it's very important to put those two together. And, of course, if someone's coming at you with a snake-headed monster on their shield, you're going to think twice because that's kind of a big deal. It's kind of like the old guys that used to chop off heads and hang them on their belts, you know, the shrunken heads of the cannibals, or scalping, you know, same idea. Somebody loses the top of their head, they're probably not here anymore. So Pallas Athena is this energy, and Medusa, of course, is the algal, the blinking eye. It's the eye of the woman with the beheaded. O.J. Simpson, Nicole Simpson had, she was beheaded by O.J. He cut off her head right through to the neck. So she had a little bit of skin on the back of her neck, you know, and the rest of it was cut off. It's very common in beheadings. Doesn't mean literal, but it can mean literal, okay? So when I was learning my fixed stars, I was thinking, you know, I would ask people when planets were on their charts, I'd say, okay, so that's the fixed star, and I'd ask about the mythology of the scar. So I figured it was safe this one time, and it was in the 11th house, okay, which is, you know, groups and people and, you know, what would Algol do there? So I said, you know, this is a fixed star of beheading, and it was on Mercury. And I said, you know, I don't know if that imagery means anything. She goes, well, my brother was beheaded. And I went, ooh, right, Mercury brother. I said, your older brother? She goes, yeah, of course, that's the 11th house if we use derived houses. I'm like, ooh. Now, mind you, this is when I was younger and stupid. I don't do this anymore. I just kind of notice the imagery and might mention it, but I don't go digging anymore. At least I try not to, unless I'm really, really nosy. But I'm like, really? She goes, yeah, he was beheaded in a car crash. The steering wheel cut his head off. And, of course, Mercury rules cars. So I'm like, wow. So it's a very strong image, and it's on the south node of fate, and it's on the ascendant of the chart, and it's on, you know, it's on the eclipse point, essentially. So this week we can lose our head. Last week we could lose our head. And if you've, you know, been without electricity for a long time, you know, people are calling up screaming. I know I had something happen with my computer the other day, and somehow my Kaspersky, my internet virus software, disappeared off my machine, and I went a little crazy trying to get it back in, calling the salespeople who couldn't do it, but the tech people were off already. I'm like, you know, really, you need the tech people. You guys don't know what you're doing. And then I said, okay, so I like to write letters when I'm upset. I said, so, like, what's the name of the president? She's like, well, we can't give you that. I'm like, you're kidding me, really? They don't give out the name to write a complaint letter. I'm like, okay, this is not good. Maybe we need a new virus protection software. So you may find yourself losing your head and yelling. And I was yelling before I realized that this Algol eclipse is what we're going to be working with. So this week, physically, emotionally, logically, spiritually, psychologically, intellectually, any one of those ways, you can lose your head. Because people might say something mean to you with Mercury retrograde sitting on that node, right? So if someone says something to you that makes you get really mad, just remember that the Algol is sitting there waiting for you to lose your head. And you might actually lose your head over something that you don't really need to lose your head over, because the imagery is very, very strong. Plus, we have a lot of planets in Scorpio. Now, Scorpio, at this point, we're in the third decant. The sun is in the third decant, and the moon is. So that is the Cancer decant, right? So we have the Pisces, Scorpio, Scorpio Pisces, Scorpio Cancer. So we're all going to be extra sensitive, especially in our workplaces, or around our physical habits and how we do things and what we do. There's a lot of sensitivity running this week around the workplace. And, you know, of course, whenever we have one of these really crabby aspects, we can expect some kind of workplace violence to break out, hopefully not in your workplace, but do not be not be surprised if there's something that blows up, because Mars is still out of bounds. He's in the house of death. And he's in conjunct to Taurus rising on Algol. And Pluto's also in the house of death at 7, squaring Uranus in a public place. So it's just kind of a hard energy. The other thing that happens this week is Chiron stations. Now, we had Neptune station last week. The week before, we had Ceres. We know we have this whole pile of planets in water. And because the sun is in water, he's now moving along, and the planets that were retrograde are stationing to go direct, because that's what they do. You know, the retrograde planets go direct or retrograde when the other one's in a water, when the sun's in the sign of whatever it is. So all the water planets that have been backwards are now stationing to go either retrograde, like in the case of Cancer, or to go direct, like in the case of Pisces. So Pisces, Neptune went direct, and Chiron's stationing and going direct under this eclipse. Now, Chiron is at 458 of Pisces. So this is foot problems. This is foot issues. So kind of be a little aware if you've had something running with your feet. It might re-flare up or it might act up. Being conscious of your feet is part of the thing with Pisces. And Chiron also, because he is stationing in a sextile to Pluto and in conjunct to Saturn, we can have some health issues, or trine to Saturn, I'm sorry, we can have some health issues surface under this one, because the eclipse also is very much sixth house energy. So our job with it is to kind of say, okay, what are we trying to accomplish? What are we trying to do here? And if we hold that space, that will help a lot. So it is a three-page week. Those of you who follow the column know that when it's a two-page week, it's a busy week. When it's a three-page week, that means three pages of aspects. We're really going to be hopping, particularly Monday, Tuesday, the beginning part of the week when the moon is in Scorpio, as well as the eclipse taking place. Now, we're in a balsamic approach, meaning right now we're releasing Monday, Tuesday until 5 o'clock on Tuesday night, East Coast time, adjust for your time zone. Then we go into Sag, which is a little more optimistic, and then we go into Capricorn on the 16th to the 18th, and then we go into Aquarius on the 18th. So it's the other-oriented, outer sign, big-picture kind of moons. These are very impersonal moons, not necessarily emotional, but the new moon in Scorpio will be emotional. And it is at the Sabian image of camouflaged hunters shoot ducks. So we can't anticipate shooting in the culture. I don't know how this stuff works. I just report on it. So we have that going. The sun goes from early Scorpio 22 to 27. It's also going to form an aspect with the nodes of fate by declination. And it's going to join to the north node on the 17th, by declination on the 13th, and the nodes of fate on the 17th, which asks us each to move forward. Whatever happens this week under these eclipses, it's designed to get you to move forward in the world towards the next direction, the next place, the next purpose. Even though it's highly sensitive, because that eclipse point is taking place in Scorpio Cancer, and then, of course, Saturn is still in Scorpio. Now, one of the things I wrote about in the column was I kept saying, if you're going to make permanent decisions, make them by the 14th, 15th, right? Because at that point, it's finished, the matter's done, completed, and then you're off to the new direction, right? So the new direction starts as we go forward with this energy. It's very powerful energy moving forward. And we are now going to be really active. Very, very active time and place as we're heading forward. So your job is to say, okay, super active on this. And it's very powerful, powerful energies. We also have Mercury joining with the sun. So on the 17th, which is Friday, Saturday, everybody's going to think they're right. And they are. You know, from their perspective, it's a very opinionated aspect. Mercury combusts the sun and parallel the sun on the 16th. So Friday, Saturday, everybody's going to think, I'm right, you're wrong. And it's kind of a little, you know, a little crabby, but not too bad. It's Scorpio, though, but it's a passionate correct, and it's a belief system correct. So it's always important with Mercury to the sun to ask the person, what did you hear me say? Because invariably they didn't hear you correctly, or they jumped to what they're going to do, what they would have done, or what they thought, as opposed to what you actually said. So your job is to kind of listen to what gets said to you. Right? Because you're going to go, oh, that's what you would do. That's not what I did. Right? Because invariably, that is what they would do. The conclusion they're jumping to is what they would have done had they been placed in the same situation. Remember, Scorpio's all about projection. People project this stuff out and they give it to you instead of owning their own stuff. And sometimes they're not even conscious of it. But they say it. So I had somebody say to me, well, you know, you canceled my appointment for a higher paying appointment. And I thought, no, it's not how I work. But I guess that must be what you do. You must cancel for a higher paying appointment. I was always one of those people that when we went out together, if one of us met somebody, we still went home together. And then you would have a second date with the other person. You know, you didn't split up because you got a better offer. and you didn't cancel last minute because you got a better offer. But I'm a Virgo. You know, I made a commitment. I'm going to try my best to keep it. But that person, when they said it to me, I thought, well, that's got to be what you do. You cancel when you get a better offer. Okay, cool. Good to know. Well, what were you doing that for? You act as if it's bup-bup-bup. And you go, oh, wow, bup-bup-bup. That must be your story. So listen very carefully to what people say to you this week, because eclipses want to reveal things. They want to show us stuff. They want to help us see things we had not seen before. These are very powerful eclipses. And they're going to reveal stuff that you're going to know. I had a client email. You know, she got a call from somebody's girlfriend. And, you know, the girlfriend called and said, you were just used by him. And I thought, well, you know, good to know he was cheating. You know, now you know what the story was. At the same time, that woman who's calling, you know, Petraeus, General Petraeus, resigning. The mistress was apparently sending nasty emails to some woman that worked with him. And that woman, as writes the CIA agent, reports it to the FBI because she can't investigate it. They investigate the women. They found out that Petraeus has been having an affair with her. This is the kind of things that are going to go down under this week, because it's Scorpio, revealing the secrets, revealing the hidden stories, having the story come to light. Now, what will happen when it comes to light, do not take it personally. Simply know that this is what's been going on. You weren't in the loop, or this explains a heck of a lot, because now all of a sudden you get it. You get what the bad behavior was. You understand why they did what they did. It's an explainer. The nice part about eclipses is they are splainers. They explain things, as my niece used to say. I want to explain why that happened. Okay, why did that happen? You know? And, you know, it's kind of like my mother used to say, I'd rather hear it from you than one of the neighbors, right? Better you confess up to me and tell me, which, of course, made us all little confessing children. Not everybody confesses, you know, not everybody confesses. But understand that this is a confession eclipse. So you may hear some confessions. You may get some stories, some stuff coming up. This is Scorpio, baby. Scorpio is deep, profound, and private. So watch what you find out. Watch what you hear. Very big eclipse. Big, big, big. Right after it pops, Mercury goes backwards into Scorpio on Wednesday. And the moon and Mercury have an occultation or an eclipse. So what that does is it makes the information be extra big. We also have Mercury squaring Neptune. Last week, Neptune stationed. We watched that Mercury square Neptune. That was the winds and the water, right? We all are having winds and water somewhere in our chart, where the winds of communication and the water of emotion are working really strongly and really, really helping us figure out things and wrap things up and do things in a proper way, or not, but at least we're going to feel like a compulsion to do it. The other thing eclipses do is they make us feel compelled to do things. They make us feel like we absolutely, positively have to, or we're just going to die. You're not going to die. You don't have to do anything. Better to sit on it for a little minute and kind of be quiet and kind of say, okay, do I really want to respond to that? Do I really want to say to that person, no, that's what you would do. That's not what I would do. But you have to sit on your mouth, which is a little hard with Mercury and Sag. Admittedly, on Wednesday, when Mercury goes into Scorpio, it'll be a little easier. But Mercury is square to Neptune. So secrets will be revealed. Now, we still have a third part of the square to happen when Mercury comes back over Neptune later in the month. But this is the big reveal. This is excitement. You're going to hear stuff and see stuff and learn stuff and go, oh, wow. The other thing that happens is we have Leonid's meteor showers, which, of course, is always fun if you get to go out, if you live someplace where you can see them. So go watch them on Friday. We also have Mars going into Capricorn. Like I said, it's a three-page week of aspects. So Mars, for the last little bit, has been in Sagittarius, out of bounds, happy, happy, but a little wild and crazy, a little fiery, a little passionate. Now he goes into Capricorn, where he is exalted. He loves being in Capricorn, but he is answering to that Saturn in Scorpio. So now we're going to really dig in. We're really going to start to do the work of Capricorn And this week, you know, we've been fiddling around, getting used to Mars and Scorpio, waiting to make our final decisions between now and when Venus, Saturn gets past 448, which is Wednesday, Thursday. And again, people were freaking out about decisions. Don't freak out. If you know you want to do something, like you want to go on a diet or you want to give up dairy or you want to stop drinking coffee or you want to start exercising more, do those things. The stuff you aren't sure about, just don't make a final decision. Just move it along, kick it along, kick it down the road. You don't have to make a decision right this week. But if you do need to make a decision, this is a really good time to make permanent decisions. If you aren't ready, don't worry about it. And people, this happens once a year, every year. So you've been doing this all of your life. You've been making permanent decisions when it's this little patch of sky that the planets go through without retrograding. Although it does feel a little more important this year, I will say. So once Mars goes into Capricorn on Friday, we then enter a different work energy, and that's when we'll really start to do the work of Saturn and Scorpio, because this little get acquainted phase that we've been in since October through now has been saying, okay, let's all get acquainted and figure out what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, what it's going to be like. And then when Mars goes into Capricorn Friday night, we settle down to work. After Mars hits Capricorn, of course, he's in that early section. So he's going to go through the gauntlet of Uranus and Pluto and all that. And he is first up going to sextile Neptune on Saturday, which is a busy day, the 17th. He also is going to be joining with Mercury. The Sun will be joining with Mercury on the 17th, so communications will be very important. And then, of course, we have a lovely bunch of aspects that over the weekend that are very profound. So that's nice. You know. So the beginning of the week is a little harder, but we still are in the eclipse period between the two, because once we have the new moon, then we go to the full moon. The full moon will take place on the 28th, which is the Wednesday after Thanksgiving, at 6 Gemini. So this one this week is at 21:57 Scorpio. The one in the 28th is at 6:47 Gemini. Mercury whips through, going backwards, forming lots of aspects to lots of planets as he goes, especially by declination. And then he also is going to be entering Scorpio, and lots of really, really interesting communication. So now Mercury's retracing his steps back to October 18th, which is when he entered his shadow, back to 18 Scorpio. So as we ride with him backwards, we're going to feel his energy as he talks to us. He also is very, very busy this week. He hits the nodes of fate on the 17th, the same day the Sun does. So expect to hear really interesting information. That information is designed to move you forward. What you hear this week will be setting the stage for Saturn in Scorpio. What's going to happen? Is it finished? Is it moving forward? Are we out of the woods? Are we heading off? Venus runs from 19 Libra to 26 Libra, very strong energies. She has crabby aspects this week like she did last week, but not as bad as last week. Last week she was really pretty miserable. This week she's in a better space. She also has a hard aspect to the nodes of fate, asking her to adjust energetically towards what she wants. Mars has decent aspects this week, which is nice because he's been a little crabby. He does end something on the 13th because he needs to make a permanent adjustment. And he enters Capricorn on the 16th, which is a big important time because then he's going to be in Capricorn for a while. Now, when he goes into Capricorn, Saturn and Scorpio and the Scorpio planets report to him. Right now they're reporting to an out-of-bounds Mars and Sag, which is why everything's been a little wild. People were talking about machetes and looters and shooting things. Mars and Capricorn is very law and order. Follow the rules. This is how it is. You have to do it or else. There's a much more disciplined nature to him. So that discipline will take over, good, bad, or indifferent, but it takes over on the 16th. And then, of course, we have Chiron stationing direct on the 14th, which is on Thursday. Wait a minute, I think I'm in October. Oh, on Thursday. On the 14th, Wednesday. Can't read my calendar here. Chiron stationing. So we know when these outer planets station, we have a few days ahead and a few days after. So we're right now we're in the Chiron station. We're still in the Neptune station, too, which happened yesterday. So we're kind of in this really weird space where all these outer planets are stopping and turning direction, and it makes us feel a little weird because we're in a weird space. Just be comfortable with feeling weird. That's what's going on. You aren't doing anything wrong. It is a weird energy. If you know people that are thinking of jumping off the bridge, encourage them not to do that. I had four different people, a couple from New York, a couple from other places, send me emails about watching people jump and running into the, you know, like somebody jumping on the sidewalk or walking by someone who had jumped out a window. Let people know these are transits. You know, it is not forever. It's not permanent. It's a very hard energy. Those grand trines in water, one of my students said, I thought grand trines in water were good. It's like, well, they can be, but they also can be really hard because there's just so much emotional energy flying around, and it's very hard to ground it, right? It's hard to ground it because there is so much. Now, Saturn also is going to trine Chiron as he stations. So he's forming, you know, he's in that grand trine in water. He's about to leave, but he's going to form a trine to Chiron, kicking up the wound a little. And right before he leaves on the 15th, he forms an inconjunct to Uranus, which is an adjusting aspect to the structures you have built in your life. We're adjusting, adjusting, adjusting. Figure out what the structures are in your life. Do you want to keep them? Do you want to let them go? If you know you want to keep them, put them in a little pile and say, I know I want to keep them. If you know you want to let them go, start working on letting them go. Start working on saying, okay, I'm going to make a commitment. I'm going to start working seriously to let them go. We in the column are going to start working seriously on the Saturn in Scorpio now that Saturn's getting past the permanent place this week. So we're all going to have homework assignments because I think it makes us feel very grounded. I'm a Virgo. I like having tasks that I have to do. They make me feel like, okay, if I do this, that means it'll be better. I always feel like it's some kind of weird bargain with the gods, but it makes me feel better because I know I'm doing my work. You're also going to have health issues pop up on the 15th because we have the health planets arguing with the nodes of fate. Always fun when that happens. So if you've got a little cold, remember eclipses bring up colds. They bring things to light. The sun is going to disappear. Now, we're not going to see it here. It's happening in Australia and New Zealand, over South America. But it affects us. And it's certainly your Scorpio house has taken a hit. Okay, so whatever sign you have at 21 Scorpio, that's getting woken up. And your job is to say, okay, hi, Scorpio, you're here. Cool. What are we doing again? And to give it permission, give that energy permission to surface. You're not going to die, but you do need to see it. And so it's like a strobe light. The sun goes out. The moon goes in front of the sun. All the animals stop. It gets dark, twilight, the flowers all close up. And you're like, wow, the sun has been eaten up by the moon. You actually see it disappear. Very powerful. And then, of course, it goes away. Now, this eclipse is 4 minutes and 5 seconds long. That means it translates to 4 years. So if this baby's big in your chart, this is a four-year cycle you're starting. If it's not, it's just run-of-the-mill, no worries, you're good to go. It's just a little burp in your life, but it's a biggie. Now, I know me personally, I like working with new moon energies. This one is particularly powerful for releasing and letting go of stuff you no longer need, wrapping up matters, finishing them, and saying that is done, done, done. So if you know you want something done, 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 this is a great time to do a ritual, to do a mental release, to write it, to get rid of it, to kill it off in your life, to let it go. It's also a great time, because the stuff is in the sixth house, to make a firm commitment to a new routine, a new belief system, a new structure, a new ritual, because it's in the sixth house of rituals, a new way of doing things, because that lovely new moon is in that house. It's supported by Saturn in the house of permanent commitments. At the degree before, we are going to be in flexible mode. So really be conscious about using this energy. It's very powerful. Don't take it personally, even though your feelings might be hurt. The reason you're finding out is it's time for you to move on, time for you to know something that's very powerful, very important, and to let you go free. So you have to thank it and say, gee, I guess we're finished, right? I guess it's done. I guess it's over. And then to say, good, I am ready to let this go. Okay, that's the whole idea of eclipses. It's to make you conscious, to help you let things go, and to help you be able to move on. So that's very powerful. We're in eclipse season. We're going to have another 4 weeks of it. But this is the big hit this week. So forward we go. Take care. Ann Ortley signing off from my bright red desk, and have a great week. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.